Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari.
Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari.
Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari.
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Charja Ashto Tarishta Shishimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavindi ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Prince Gaho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Radhar Shivasari Gopakshavindi ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gokupinath Shamakund Radhakund Giri Govardhan ki, Sri Vrindavan Dham ki, Sri Mayapur Navadip Dham ki, Sri Jagannath Puri ki, Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi ki, Jamuna Devi Ganga Devi ki, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki, all glories to some devotees, all glories to some devotees, all glories to some devotees, go Premanande Hari Guru. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam namaskritya.
Narayanam namaskritya.
Narayanam Chaiva Narottamam.
Devim Sarasatim Vyasam.
Tato Jaya Mudiraye.
Nashta Prayeshu Bhadreshu.
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya.
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke.
Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8. Chapter 24. Text number 53. Twam.
Deva varam varinyam.
Twam aham deva varam varinyam. Prapadya.
Isham.
Pratibhodanaya. Prapadya isham pratibhodanaya. Chindi. Artadipar.
Bhagavan.
Vachopir.
Chintyartadipar Bhagavan Vachopir.
Grantin.
Hridyan.
Vibhrinu.
Swam.
Okaha. Gantin Hridyan Vibhrine. Swam Oka.
Grantin Hridyan Vibhrinu Swam Oka.
Twam aham vedavaram varenyam. Prapadya isham pratipodanaya. Chindyartadipar bhagavan vachopir. Grantin hridyan vrinute swam oka. Grantim Hridayam Vivrinu Swamoka.
Tvam Twamaham Deva Varam Varinyam.
Prapadya Isham Pratipodanaya. Chindyartadipar Bhagavan Vachopir. Vrindu Swamoka.
Granting Vidayam Vrindu Swamoka.
Tvam tvam aham deva varam varenyam.
Tvam tvam aham deva varam varenyam.
Prapaja isham prati bodhanaya.
Prapaja isham prati bodhanaya.
Chindyartha diper bhagavan vachobir.
Chindyartha diper bhagavan vachobir.
Grantin hridayan vivrinu swamoka.
Grantin hridayan vivrinu swamoka.
Tvam
tvam aham deva varam varenyam.
Prapadya
isham pratibodhanaya.
Chindyartha diper bhagavan
vachobir.
Grantin
hridayan vivrinu swamoka.
Vaishnavis.
Tvam tvam aham deva varam varenyam. Prapaja isham prati bodhanaya. Chindyartha dipar bhagavan vachobir. Grantin hridayam vivrinu swamoka. Tvam tvam aham deva varam varenyam. Prapaja isham prati bodhanaya. Chindyartha diper bhagavan vachobir. Grantin hridayam vivrinu swamoka.
Tvam.
Tvam.
How exalted you are.
How exalted you are.
Tvam.
Tvam.
Unto him.
Unto him.
Aham.
Aham.
Myself.
Myself.
Devavaram.
Devavaram.
Worshipped by the demigods.
Worshipped by the demigods.
Varenyam.
Varenyam.
The greatest of all.
The greatest of all.
Prapadye.
Prapadye.
Fully surrendering.
Fully surrendering.
Isham.
Isham.
Unto the Supreme Controller.
Unto the Supreme Controller.
Pratibodhanaya.
Pratibodhanaya.
For understanding the real purpose of life.
For understanding the real purpose of life.
Chinti.
Chinti.
Cut off.
Cut off.
Artadipai.
Artadipai.
By the light of purposeful instruction.
By the light of purposeful instruction.
Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
O Supreme Lord.
O Supreme Lord.
Vachobhi.
Vachobhi.
By your words.
By your words.
Grantin.
Grantin.
Knots.
Knots.
Hridayan.
Hridayan.
Fixed within the core of the heart.
Fixed within the core of the heart.
Vrinu.
Vrinu.
Kindly explain.
Somokaha.
Somokaha. My destination in life.
My destination in life.
Translation. This is King Satyavrata. Satyavrata speaking to Matsya, who appeared as a tiny little minnow while he was at the bank of the river. And that minnow asked him for shelter. And so he took in that minnow as he was a great soul and protected it from the bigger fish. But then the minnow grew into a larger fish and needed a bigger bowl. And then the next day he grew into a fish that needed a pond, and then a fish that needed a lake, and then the ocean, and then the Kajal ocean, and then he was millions of yojanas long. It was the Supreme Personality of God in the form of a fish. Translation. O Supreme Lord, for self-realization I surrender unto you, who are worshipped by the demigods as the supreme controller of everything. By your instructions, exposing life's purpose, kindly cut the knot from the core of my heart and let me know the destination of my life. Would you like to repeat? O Supreme Lord.
O Supreme Lord.
For realization.
For realization.
For self-realization.
For self-realization.
I surrender unto you.
I surrender unto you.
Who are worshipped by the demigods.
Who are worshipped by the demigods.
As the supreme controller of everything.
As the supreme controller of everything.
By your instructions.
By your instructions.
Exposing life's purpose.
Exposing life's purpose.
Kindly cut the knot from the core of my heart.
Kindly cut the knot from the core of my heart.
And let me know the destination of my life.
And let me know the destination of my life.
Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is argued that people do not know who is a spiritual master, and that finding a spiritual master from whom to get enlightenment in regard to the destination of life is very difficult. To answer all these questions, King Satyavrata shows us the way to accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the real spiritual master. The Supreme Lord has given full directions in Bhagavad Gita about how to deal with everything in this material world and how to return home back to Godhead. Therefore, one should not be misled by so-called gurus who are rascals and fools. Rather, one should directly see the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the guru or instructor. It is difficult, however, to understand Bhagavad Gita without the help of the guru. Therefore, the guru appears in the parampara system. In Bhagavad Gita 4.34, the Supreme Personality of Godhead recommends, Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadakshanti de jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Lord Krishna directly instructed Arjuna. Arjuna is therefore Tatvadarshi, or guru. Arjuna accepted the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramangavan. Similarly, following in the footsteps of Sri Arjuna, who is a personal devotee of the Lord, one should accept the supremacy of Lord Krishna as supported by Vyas, Devala, Sita, Narada, and later by the Acharyas, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Bhimbarka, and Vishnu Swami, and still later by the greatest Acharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Where then is the difficulty in finding a guru? If one is sincere, he can find the guru and learn everything. One should take lessons from the guru and find out the goal of life. Satyavrata, therefore, shows us the way of the Mahajan. Mahajana yena katha sapantaha. One should surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dashavatar, and learn from him about the spiritual world and the goal of life. Om jnanatamadandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurumyadhamyena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manohishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa dhamaya dati svamantram vande Guru, Sri Yuta Padakamala, Sri Guru Vaishnavamsa, Sri Rupam Sarajatam, Sahagana Raghunatham Pitam, Kam Sajivam, Sadvetam Sadvatutam, Harijana Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Balaram Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhamitamsa Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale
Bhakti Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi
Paschata
Deshkarine
Namo Vishnu Padaya
Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Kinamine
Sri Varshavana Videvi Daikaya Kripataye
Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Kavale Namaha
Madhuru Jvala Premadya Shilu Baduga Bhaktira Shikora Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute
Namaste Gaurani Shimurtaye Dinatharine Rupanuga Virudhava
Siddhanta Dvanta Harine
Namo Gora Kishoraya Sakshatvairagya Murtaye Vipralamba Rasambode Paramujaya Te
Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sakchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gaura Virbhava Bhomeswam Nirdesa Sajjana Priya Vaishnava Sarvabhoma Shri Yatakataya Te Nama Panchakalpa Drubhyasya Krupa Asurya Echa
Namo Mahavananyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Goratvise Namaha
Anshatapamakam Krishna Bhaktarupa Sarupatam Bhaktavataram Bhaktatyam Namami Bhaktasatikam
He Krishna Karuna Sindho Nila Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Panta Radha Kanda Namostute Jayatam Surato Bango Mama Manda Vatirgati Matsarva Swapadam Bojo Radha Kanda Namohano
Dipya Vrindaranya Kulpadrumadha Srimad Radna Kala Srimasamasto
Srimad Radha Shila Govinda Devo Prishtali Bhise Vyadana Smarami
Sriman Rasara Sarambi Vanshi Vata Tatsakara
Karshan Menu Sanir Gopir Gopinata Shri Smarama Takta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavan Ishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamani Hari Priye
Vrindai Tulsi Devyai Priyai Keshavasya Cha
Vishnu Bhakti Prade Devi Satyatai Namo Namaha
Sri Nishinga Jai Nishinga Jai Jai Nanashinga Prahlada Desha Jai Padma Muka Padma Bringa Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasani Yodhata Vrinda
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama
Rama Rama Hare Hare
Vantvam Aham Deva Varam Varinyam Pratya Isham Pratipodanaya Chinjata Deepar Bhagavan Vacho Virgam Tim Hridayam Rivinu Swamokaha. O Supreme Lord, for self-realization I surrender unto you who are worshipped by the demigods as the supreme controller of everything. By your instructions, exposing life's purpose, kindly cut the knot from the core of my heart and let me know the destination of my life. In this verse and purport, we're seeing the way to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. King Shatavarta is speaking directly to the Lord, asking for His shelter. And Krishna is the Adi Guru. He's the source of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartite iti matva bhajante imam buddha bhava samanvitaha. Everything emanates from Him. And He's the source of perfect knowledge. Therefore, He's the Adi Guru. And all those who represent Krishna, they are also Guru. They're speaking what Krishna has spoken and given the conclusion that Krishna has given. Yesterday we talked about our situation in this world, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu compares in his teaching to Sanatana Goswami to be a helpless condition for the soul who's floating from one destination to the next aimlessly, just as much as a log would float on a river with no resting place until it comes to be washed up on the shore by some good luck. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Brahmanda Brahmati Kon Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Pukti Lata Bij. The soul who is eternally part and parcel of Krishna somehow or other has become separated and is wandering under the spell of the modes of material nature. If that soul is fortunate, he meets a physician, a devotee physician, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Sanatana Goswami. And the physician gives instructions and hymns, two things. By taking the instructions and the hymns, that prescription can cure the soul from his suffering condition. The covering of Maya is lifted by that instruction. And he becomes Bhagyavan. Bhagyavan means fortunate. Bhagya, fortunate. So Krishna has one main purpose for this material creation. Vishnur Mahan Sahihayasakala Vishesho Govindamari Purushantam Aham Bhajami. The great Mahavishnu is exhaling, and when he exhales, the entire material creation manifests. All the ingredients come forth. Karnadakshay Vishnu's, Shirdakshay Vishnu's, Lord Brahma is born from the lotus. There's a recreation of all the different worlds. And there are many different avatars, Manvantars, Leela avatars, Yuga avatars, Shaktivesh avatars. And they're all coming with one purpose. And that is to remind everyone of their eternal home in the spiritual world, which they've forgotten. When Srila Prabhupada came to America and was asked, why did you come here? He said, I've come to teach you what you've forgotten about your eternal home. And that is the business of the spiritual master. And that is Krishna's business. And that's why he breathes out. He makes the world manifest simply for the purpose of reclaiming the conditioned souls, giving them an opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead. He says in the Bhagavad Gita, Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshostina priyah ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya mai te teshu chapyaham. That I'm equal to everyone and I don't interfere. He doesn't interfere with the independence of the soul, because what is forced love? There is no such thing. You can't force someone to love you, can you? What kind of love would that be if you actually force someone into it? How would there be an opening of the heart and natural reciprocation if you force someone to love you. So Krishna doesn't force the soul to love him. He's equal to all. But if someone, by good fortune, turns their attention towards him, then he reciprocates in kind. Ye yata amam prapadyante tamstadaiva bhajamyaham. As a person surrenders to Krishna, he rewards them accordingly. So, Bhagyavan, those who are fortunate, they come in contact with a representative of the Lord. Krishna distributes himself specifically through his devotees. When Vidura had been on pilgrimage, he met with the Pandavas, and Yudhishthira Maharaj told him, Bhavadvida Bhagavatas, Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho, Tirtha Kurvanti Tirthani Swantak Sena Gatapita. Vidura, he said, you are a holy place personified because you carry the Supreme Personality of Godhead and love for him within your heart. And wherever you go, you give him to each person you meet. That's the only business of a devotee, is worshiping Krishna. And wherever he goes, wherever she goes, that devotee distributes Krishna to others. And that's how Krishna makes himself available in this world, because he doesn't personally become involved with directly trying to interfere with the individual soul's independence. But the devotees, they wander everywhere and they give an opportunity to people to take to Krishna consciousness. Every soul has a bank account within their heart, Srila Prabhupada said. And every time someone meets a devotee and does some unknown service, this is called agyata sukriti, unknown pious activities, unknowingly does something, then that person gets a deposit in the bank account. And when there's enough capital acquired within that account, then shraddha, or faith in Krishna, is born. Devotees actually know this too. They know that by distributing Krishna, especially in his holy name, yadabhaso pyudyan kavalita bhava dvantavibhavo drisham tatvandanam apidishiti bhakti pranayanam. Rupa Goswami says that just with the dim reflection of the holy name, a person can be awakened to bhakti. Just with a dim reflection. And so devotees know that, and they distribute Krishna everywhere, to everyone. Krishna manifests the world for this purpose, and he also inhales and brings the entire creation back within out of disappointment. In fact, before the creation is ended, and before another one begins, Lord Sankarshan becomes a little annoyed because of having given so much opportunity to the souls, the conditioned souls in the world, and for so many having not taken advantage. He becomes a little angry, and from his eyebrows come the 11 rudras, and they begin their dance of destruction. You know how it feels if you go in Sankirtan, you present Krishna consciousness, and so many people tell you, I'm not interested. What's there not to be interested in? Which part of this are you specifically not interested in? Sometimes I remember, we'd sell books in the airport. Sometimes people would, last resort, they'd buy a higher taste cookbook, and then they'd realize it was a Hare Krishna cookbook, and they'd come back later and say, I want my money back. I say, why? I don't agree with this. I said, which recipe don't you agree with? But Krishna wants us to come back home, and he sends his representatives to this world. So there's a way that he distributes himself. There's a process. There are some pradayas, or parties, which are formed by acharyas, who represent the Supreme Personality of God. There are four Vaishnava sampradayas. Sampradaya vihina me mantra te nishpriya spriha. If one doesn't receive one's mantra and instructions through sampradaya, then it is said that there's no potency in the mantras. These sampradayas all are in agreement about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like there may be political parties here in Canada. Are there?
Oh.
It's not a dictatorship. And they may have differences of opinion on some details, but their interest is the country, Canada. So similarly, these sampradayas may have slightly different ways of worshipping the Lord, but their interest is Vishnu. And this is the conclusion. Sarvasya chahamrati sannivishto matak smitir jnanam apohanam cha vedaischa sarve ahameva vedyo vedanta krit veda vedeva chaham. That Krishna, Vishnu, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the conclusion of these sampradayas. And as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, there is a parampara system. From one spiritual master to disciple, the message is passed down. Now, the class today, the title was, what is it?
Finding the right commander.
Finding the right commander. Yeah, and yesterday we talked about the verse. Krishna spoke to Uddhava, Nrideham Adyam Sulabham Sadulabham Plavam Sukalpam Guru Karnadaram. He said that the human body, Nrideham, is very special, and it's like a boat that's fully equipped to cross over the ocean of material life. And on the boat, you need to have a captain, otherwise you're going to sink. And you also need to have favorable breezes. Mayan Kulien and Abhasvateri Tam. So you have a captain, and that's a spiritual master. Someone's been across the ocean a few times. That's who you want to go with. It doesn't. You get on an airplane, and they announce, "Yeah, this is my first flight." It's got to be some first flight sometime, but it doesn't give you a lot of faith. But if the person looks like they've been in the Air Force and then they flew for many years, they have a sort of soberness to them. Then you feel a little bit better about it. So guru means heavy. Actually, that's what the word means, heavy. You want to have guidance from someone who's heavy. And this is there are descriptions of the right commander given in the Shastra. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jignasu shreya uttamam shaddi paricha nishnatam brahman yupashamashrayam. Brahman yupashamashrayam means somebody who has abandon all other kinds of interests in life, has one interest, Brahman Upashamashrayam. They're interested in Brahman, in the Supreme. And that's what their life's business is about. Tasmad Gurum Prapadyeta. Therefore, Tasmad Gurum Prapadyeta, one should surrender to Guru, who's a representative of Krishna, who comes in this line, in the parampara. Jignasu Shreya Uttamam, and you should inquire about what is your ultimate goal in life. Shreya Uttamam, what is the highest, most important thing? Shabde Paricha Nishnatam, the qualification of the commander, of the guru, Shabde Pari, means that that person has heard, has taken a dip in the ocean of transcendental knowledge. Shabde Paricha Nishnatam, and is fixed in that knowledge, him or herself. Shabde paricha nishnatam brahman yupashamashrayam.
Tat vignanartam sadgurum eva bigachet sampani sotriyam pramanishtam. Shastra says, Mundaka Upanishad, one must have a guru. So what does that mean? One must have a guru. Is it a law? Is that what it means? Tadvignanartam sugurum eva bigachet, translated and expressed as one must take a guru. Is that a law? What do you think? Yes? It's a law? Yes, on one side it's stating emphatically, you could say it's a kind of a law. But on the other side, we say not everyone needs a guru. Who needs a guru? Arjuna needed a guru. The first chapter of Bhagavad Gita sometimes is translated, the title is translated as the Yoga of Despair. Despair. How out of despair is there yoga? Yoga means to link with Krishna. Queen Kunti said it. She said, whenever I'm completely in despair, I feel completely helpless, then I surrender to you, Krishna. Yesterday we told Milind that he could have 1 billion years to live and $1 billion. When you have that, do you feel like surrendering right away or do you want to take the day off? But if you're pressed and you're feeling helpless, despair. Despair means without hope. There's no more hope. Without hope, Arjuna turned to Krishna and he said, please tell me what to do. Karpanya dosha bahata subhava prichichami tom dharma samudachita. Tell me what's my highest good because I don't know anymore. I can't help myself. Please help me. So in utter despair or hopelessness, having lost all optimism in the material world, and my ability to figure out how to get out of the situation I'm in the material world, tadvignanartam sadgurum, I must have a guru. It means emphatically, it must come from you. The question often is, well, how do I find a guru? How do I find a spiritual master? Where's a spiritual master? You don't need to look for a spiritual master as much as you need to look for your own discipleship. Actually, the main thing is find a disciple. That's what you want to look for. It's much harder to find a disciple than it is to find a guru. And if you find a disciple, then you found a guru, because that's what a guru is. A guru is someone who out of utter necessity has surrendered his or her life to Krishna in the proper way and has taken shelter in that way and has become fixed in that destination. Om tad Vishnu paramam param sada pashanti suryoho divivachakshara tatam tad viprasa vipanyavo jagrir vamsaha simindate Vishnuya paramam param. Rig Veda says, the aim is one, it's going, looking up towards the lotus feet of Krishna. There's no other distraction. Yavasayatnika budhir ekeha kurunandana. How does that concentrated purpose come about when someone must have a guru? Utter necessity. Dhruva Maharaj had to have a guru. Dhruva Maharaj was 5 years old and he wanted to sit on the lap of his father, but he was prevented by his stepmother who said, you can't sit here until you take another birth, you can't sit here. Because she was the favored queen. He became so angry because he was a little kshatriya. Hot tears came to his eyes and he ran to his mother, crying, looking for a remedy to his situation. And what did she tell him? What was the solution? What is it?
Lord Vishnu can fulfill yours. So she said, go to God. Ask him. And he said, where do I find him? She said, well, sages go to the forest. 5 years old, he headed for the forest. He had to see Krishna. He had this burning desire and purpose. Eke hakunanana. On the way there, who did he meet? Narada overheard the conversation between he and his mother. How could he have overheard the conversation? He wasn't there. He overheard the conversation because Krishna's within everyone's heart. He's the guru. He's always watching attentively. Gajendra says this in his prayers. He's watching attentively to see when I'm going to turn my attention towards him. And as soon as I turn my attention and my intention towards reaching him, all systems are go. And he sends all kinds of help our direction to give us aid. And that's exactly what happened with Dhruva Maharaj. His purpose was to find Krishna. So what if it was to get a kingdom bigger than his great-grandfather? He wanted land, a lot of it. He wanted his own universe. But he was purposeful. He was going to Krishna to get it. And Krishna informed Narada within his heart that here's this 5-year-old boy. He needs your direction. So Narada met him on the way to the forest. And he said, why are you going to the forest? And Dhruva told him. And he said, why don't you go home and just accept that these occurrences are because of social intercourse, and you can avoid all this trouble by just acting in a brahminical way. And Dhruva Maharaj said, thank you very much for your instruction, but I'm going to the forest anyway. And Narada Muni said, you've passed my test. And he saw how determined Dhruva Maharaj was. And then he gave him instruction. If you want to have guidance and a guru like Dhruva Maharaj, like Narada Muni, then you have to have determination like Dhruva Maharaj had. This is how one finds a guru. Therefore, tat vignanartam sa gurum eva bigachet. Therefore, one must have a guru. It means you must have that feeling that I must have a guru. I must have guidance. From there, Krishna from within the heart gives direction how to come to him. This subject often invokes a lot of questions from different angles of vision. So I'm going to ask you now if you have questions before I continue. Yes.
So you said
microphone.
You said that when Vishnu breathed out, that's when the entire universe is manifested, right? And then when you breathe in, that's when it comes to mind. So it's like, right now, he's still breathing out, like it's all one breath. Right?
Yeah. Within one exhalation, trillions of years go by. What we consider to be history and all these, in the passing of long periods of time, is just a twinkling in the eye of the Supreme. Gives you good perspective.
Yes.
Yes.
This kind of feeling of I must have a group that is one away from my desire.
It awakens by good fortune, actually. This kind of impetus to know Krishna as I was mentioning before, comes about through Agyata Sukriti. This is a kind of, it's called, there are different kinds of Sukriti, which mean like pious credits. And very special kind of pious credit is called Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti. And it's a kind of good fortune that one gets from contacting devotees, coming in contact with Krishna, even unknowingly. It accumulates within the heart, and then this Shraddha is born. Shraddha means, we translate as faith, really means, Shraddha means heart, and Dha means, it's an active verb, it means where you place something. So it means where you place your heart. Ado Shraddha Tata Sarasanga Tabhajana Kriya Tato Narta Nivritti Syat Tato Nishta Ruchi Stata. The process of increasing levels of devotional service begins, Rupa Goswami says, with Shraddha. You have to have some faith. Otherwise, there's no interest, there's no impetus. And after you have that faith, then what do you want? Association. It's the next thing. As soon as you have some faith in Krishna, in the holy name, and you see devotees somewhere and you think, this is a good idea, why didn't I think of this before? And then, next thing is, where's their phone number? Is there something on the internet? Where is the place? Where are the people? I want to see the people. Everyone wants to come and be with the people who are doing this. It becomes a fascination. And from sadhu sangha comes bhajana kriya, which means that sadhus who are engaged in the process of devotional service then will give you entrance into devotional service. And there's a process for doing that. Process for entering into a devotional service officially. Like you can, well, you can't, but one could have a girlfriend. And then there's that kind of relationship, but then there's marriage, and that's a whole different thing. That's a very serious thing. Relatives fly in from all over the world, and everyone wants to watch it because you're about to make a vow. And you're saying, you know, we're going to live together and cooperate, and, you know, it's a different thing. There's a commitment. It's a big commitment. And therefore, in the process of association, one comes to make a commitment to a spiritual master in front of everyone, in front of the Lord, and takes direction. So, anyway, to answer your question directly, that impetus and that strong desire comes about by being fortunate.
What do we do if we're unfortunate?
Well, you're not, so it's a hypothetical question.
Like if somebody doesn't have that kind of faith developing, or has developed that kind of faith, then what is that situation? What is the situation of that person?
Well, devotees are trying to make others fortunate. If you feel fortunate, then you distribute the overflow of that fortune. That's what our sankirtan is. You dance in kirtan because you feel happy. It's a kind of fortune where you have no other way to express it except to throw your arms in the air and dance with abandon because you feel so happy, you feel so full. And then the next expression of that is to keep dancing right out the door and go meet people. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed inside Srivasangam for 1 year with his intimate associates who all had faith, strong faith in the holy name of the Lord. And they kept the door locked because there's a way in which that kind of mood can be disturbed by outsiders. In fact, a couple times in Srivasangam, it was disturbed. One time, Srivas Thakur's mother-in-law decided she'd stay in and watch the kirtan, even though she wasn't admitted. So she hid behind some baskets. Mahaprabhu started dancing, and then he stopped and he said, "I'm not feeling any ananda today. I don't feel the usual bliss from the kirtan. Is there some unauthorized person here?" "No, no, no other authorized." And then they looked around, they found Srivas Thakur's grandmother and escorted her out the door. It happened a few times when people snuck in. And many people outside the door who couldn't get into that kirtan were faithful people. Other people were envious. They couldn't appreciate it. They simply criticized. That they're just howling in there because they're hungry. They're staying up all night. They're probably drinking in there. They made so many criticisms. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu opened the doors after a year for the people who were innocent, who were outside waiting. They wanted to be part of this kirtan, and he let the flow come out the doors, and the kirtan came onto the street. And it was to make everyone else fortunate. Maya mrigam dayita yetsuta manbadava. Karabhajana Muni says, this was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's method. It was to chase after the conditioned souls, to give everyone a chance who wanted it to take to Krishna consciousness. And Lord Nityananda's method was to chase after people and give everyone who didn't want it the opportunity to take to Krishna consciousness. So they're the most merciful lords. Paramakaruna Pahun Dvijana Nitai Gora Chandra Shabhavatar Sharashira Muni Kevala Anandakanda. They have simply, they're going out distributing bliss and making everyone fortunate. And Prabhupada told us that was our process too, to go out and make people fortunate. And that's an internal and an external thing. It may be, as you're asking, the more specific question may be that there may be people who even come into the association of devotees and then they feel uninspired, or they don't feel a necessity for some reason, something like that.
Yeah, somehow that feeling of urgency may not come quickly, or may not come.
Well, sometimes it doesn't come until later. It comes of its own accord. It can't be forced, really. I mean, I've seen people who didn't have a sense of urgency until later in their lives, and then they did, and realized the importance. It's not something. There's no formula where you can make somebody feel urgent. Therefore, it's a sign of great good fortune if someone has this seriousness in Krishna consciousness. It's not an ordinary thing to have this kind of nishta, or being fixed in devotional service. It's rare. Manushanam sahasreshu kashchid yatuti siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kashchin mam veti tattvata. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor perfection, and of those who achieve perfection, hardly one knows me in truth, Krishna says. There's a rarity. But in any case, if you associate with people who have that kind of urgency, you also develop it. That's why we have this society. It's a place for good association. I always feel that when I meet somebody who's enthusiastic, then I become enthusiastic. So association is always important. Okay? Milan?
So,
and then Mangalarti.
If someone does not have that overflow, then one should not attempt to go out there to distribute this? Or should not be permitted to do so? Or what's, if there's no overflow, then what?
Well, then you're just stuck. There's always some overflow. You mean if people are here and they don't want to go out to distribute Krishna consciousness? Everyone can have some. There's a place for everyone, service for everyone in Krishna consciousness. Some people, there are different moods. So everyone can be accommodated according to their mood. Some people, like at our temple, we have a real thrust towards
going out on book distribution. But I don't insist that everyone go out and do book distribution. It's natural. Individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. And if someone wants to, I notice some people that they're a little, they want to stay behind and do some other service. Like there's a couple of devotees I think of, they like to pack the books. They're in the back room and they pack the books up and they stamp them. And they're back there feeling that these books are going to be distributed. But they feel a little shy about going out, you know, door to door, or doing any other kinds of things. But that's fine. They're still caught in the flow. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a way, he said, to catch everyone in his loving network. So, no matter what part of the organization you're in, if the flow is going on, then you'll also feel it. It's like electricity, it runs through everything. So the pujaris feel it, then the cooks, and the administrators, and the children, and the mothers at home, and everyone feels it because it's so electrifying. And everyone can have their part in it. And then some people, later on, they get inspired to do something. But this is a voluntary movement.
So,
yeah.
My question is actually about if someone, for example, wants to do it, and is very much enthusiastic and very much forceful, but does not have, for example, the sadhana or the reading or...
Well, sometimes when it comes the opposite way, oftentimes people start by going out. If they have that feeling, they want to go out to distribute, and then they get caught up in that enthusiasm, and the other devotees, they go out to distribute, and then while they're doing it, they get a realization that I would like to read more, study more. I've seen that happen often. Devotees go out and distribute books, for instance, and then they say, well, I'd like to read them now. Yeah, because they think, oh, I wonder what's in it. Or even you distribute the holy name, you start thinking what's in it. You teach people the holy name. Like last night, such a wonderful program, successful program, and so many people chanted the holy name. And this morning I was reflecting on it. Like, what's in that holy name? When you go out and you teach people, please chant this mantra, and they repeat it. And oftentimes you show them the mantra and they say, please repeat, and they go, wait a minute, what's going to happen to me? Something going to happen? And like, yeah, something's going to happen. Then I start thinking about, man, what is going to happen? And I have to study the process a little bit more. So any way that you can get in the flow, get in the door. Devotional service, yena tena prakarena. The philosophy of Rupa Goswami was, one way or another, get in there. Just show up somehow, be in the game. You know, you don't even have to be on the field, but if you get there, and you know, you get on the team somehow, you get the uniform, even when you're on the bench. If they win the championship, you're going to get a ring. You're in there. Get in somehow. Someplace, get in and be connected. Because it's so powerful, the process of devotional service, that you'll be picked up by it somehow. You just want to be there, especially with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda's system. Mangalarti. We're losing seconds.
Guru, you mentioned earlier on the class that Krishna is going to bear the field. What's the point of force love? I was wondering if you see someone who's not Krishna conscious or not actively practicing, you want to be a devotee, you feel that it should be one. And then sometimes it's said that if Krishna wants to see and change anyone's heart, or sometimes you pray to Krishna, can you please change his heart? But is that a wrong prayer? Because Krishna is a devotee, people's.
Nala Kuvera and Mani Griva were sons of Kuvera, and they were sporting naked in the river with heavenly damsels, and they were drinking while they were doing it. And when Narada Muni showed up, they didn't even cover themselves because they were so intoxicated. And Narada cursed them.
but he also benedicted them. And he told them that they would become trees because they were so indiscriminate, standing in public naked. And they did become trees, but also he gave them a great benediction that they would meet Krishna afterwards. Now, when Krishna pulled down the twin Arjuna trees, I mean, it was a little out of his way, actually. He was attached to a grinding mortar. But he specifically went and he took those two trees down by walking through them, and they're big, heavy trees. And the grinding mortar caught onto the trees, and he pulled them down, and Nala Kuvera and Manigriva were liberated. Actually, they had been sitting there as trees, observing the pastimes of Krishna for some time, and now they personally were liberated by Krishna. And before Krishna pulled the trees down, he thought, my devotee, Narada Muni, has said that I'm going to liberate them, so I have to do this now. So there's a way in which Krishna feels indebted to his devotees. Such a natural thing. When someone gives you their heart, when they give you themselves, unreservedly, there's a way that you feel that you can't repay them, and you'll do anything for them. And Krishna feels like that towards his devotees. Hari Bhakta Vatsal. He's Bhakta Vatsal. He's always thinking how to repay his devotees. It's just it's the natural force of things. Krishna's love for his devotees. So when devotees have goodwill towards people and they want to save them, then Krishna will seriously consider it. So this is the mercy of the devotees. They're like desire trees. They're actually fulfilling the desires of everyone. They know what their ultimate purpose is, and they become very expert at infiltrating society. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the grihasthas are the most important preachers, because the grihasthas infiltrate society. You have to go to weddings and bar mitzvahs and you know, wherever else you go, it's obligatory, isn't it? Or is it just me? Yeah, you have to show up at all these things, you know, mom and dad, sister, brother. We have people all the time. Someone just came back from India and then they found out another sister was getting married and they had to go back again. It's obligatory. But while they were there at the wedding, they distributed 500 books. They arranged it so everyone at the wedding got a book, got a Bhagavad Gita and a teachings of Prahlad. And they came back all happy that we didn't waste our time. Anyway, the desire in the heart of the devotee is very important, and Krishna honors that when a devotee wants to save somebody and gives them a special opportunity. At the same time, devotees also discriminate. Ishvare taradineshu balisheshu trusatsucha prema maitri kripopeksha yakuroti sa madhyama. The preacher is the madhyam adhikari, and makes discrimination between those who are envious and those who are innocent. And for the innocent, he or she pours in as much mercy as possible. As much mercy as possible. That's the mood of the devotee. When you see an open recipient for mercy, it desires as much as they can take. And then if somebody's envious, we avoid them, because their reaction to us presenting it can actually dig them a deeper hole. So we have to be a little careful. Of course, Lord Nityananda didn't discriminate. He went after Jagai Madai, even when they were abusive to him. But according to the power of the devotee, then, you know, such a person can change people, and affect change in them. And it's a mutual thing. Krishna's helping from within and the devotee's helping from without. Is that helpful? Sometimes, like, in distributing books, then is your desire stronger for them to take the book, stronger than their desire to resist? Yes.
I'll say it loud.
Sorry.
That's okay, I don't need it.
Being broadcast.
I can speak loud.
No. The point is, when you speak into the microphone, it's a live broadcast.
And one more request, Prabhu, if it's possible for you to repeat the question, because the speaker for the broadcast is closer to you.
Okay.
The devotees said they are not able to hear the questions.
Oh, okay.
You just mentioned to be able to, as a devotee, to be able to discriminate who your audience is, whether they're envious, which could take them into a deeper hole. How do you tell which person is which? Like, how would an envious person act as opposed to someone who might be receptive?
You sort of develop a knack for it after a while.
Okay,
yeah. How do you tell the difference between an envious person and an innocent person? There's a sort of... there's body language. Not necessarily that everyone's envious who doesn't take Krishna consciousness. I teach sometimes... when we're talking about Sankirtan classes, for instance, in this context, say if you're out in public and you're meeting people and you approach people and make some eye contact and say hello, and they have an idea for what you're probably doing because they see you're standing near a book table or you have a book in your hand, something like that, and maybe they don't pay attention to you. They just avert their eyes. Or they say, you know, go away, why don't you get a job? Or something like that. Then you can have a feeling that maybe they're not interested. And so we don't have to chase after everybody. We have the ripe fruit philosophy, and that is that when we go out to pick fruits, we look for the ripe fruits first. It's a lot easier on you, too. The riper ones first. And the other ones, let them stay in the vine. And oftentimes, if you don't push people when they're a little resistant, or too much resistant, they'll appreciate it. That's a kind of preaching, actually, is being mindful of who you're around and letting them go early. They appreciate it. They think, if they were thinking, oh, this is fanaticism, and then you let them go, they'll think, oh, maybe they weren't fanatic. They're not so attached. It's kind of an art. Of learning how to move around and find where the spark is. This is the other thing, fan the spark. You know, you look at the positive, not just with somebody's envious, but look where the spark is. If there's a spark in any way, then fan it. I mean, that's such a nice way to live life. Is wake up in the morning and think, you know, make a list. How many people can I encourage today? Make a quota. You know, that's your goal. Before I sleep tonight, I'm going to encourage 3 people. Or 10 people, or 1,000, whatever it is, you know, go on an encouragement campaign. It's a fanning the spark. This is preaching. It's like that. So just encourage people. You know, bring the life up, bring that happiness. There's sayings. You know, sometimes people say in America, like if someone's knock them dead when you're going out. We always say knock them alive. Give them Vaikuntha. Is that right?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, Dean. You said a very interesting point that in this perhaps a quest for looking for a spiritual master or whatnot, that we should look from the perspective of ourselves as a disciple.
So she's saying that she appreciated a point about when we're looking for a spiritual master to look at first at ourselves as a disciple.
Could you elaborate?
Can I elaborate a little bit more on the qualities that we can develop?
To be an ideal disciple.
To be an ideal disciple. Well, Krishna gives directive in the Bhagavad Gita about this, about qualities. First, he talks about how one acquires knowledge in the first place, and he says, Amanitvam adambitvam ahimsa shantirajanam. Acharya Upasanam Sakshat Stairam Atma Vinigraha. And onward from there, there's 20 different things he mentions. And the first two are humility and pridelessness. I mentioned this yesterday, but the three words that block all learning are I know that. So if I'm humble, And prideless, that's a good start, because then I'm open. My channels are open. This verse, Tatenu Kampam Susamikshamano Bunjana Evatma Kritam Vipakam, means that I'm not a victim. Whatever situation I'm in now, I brought it to myself. And in that humble state of mind, accepting full responsibility, I'm open. My channels are open, and I can learn from everywhere, from everyone. What to speak of a highly learned person who is fixed in devotional service? Then I'll be so stimulated that I'll be attracted immediately. It's like when you're humble. Trinada pisuni chena toro apisuhishuna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that if you want to be productive in spiritual life, you have to be like a blade of grass. That humble, that feeling that low. And this is sort of, in the material world, it's a negative kind of a charge. And if you have two magnets, a negative, well, let's take positive first. You have a positive and a positive, and you put them together, they repel. If you take a positive and a negative, they attract. So Krishna is the supreme positive. Just think of him as the biggest magnet you could ever imagine. Positive magnet. And that's what the name Krishna means. It's like a huge magnet. Attracts everyone. So, if I'm positive, that is, I'm puffed up, or I have this kind of ego, that I'm the doer, and I know everything, then when I come near Krishna, or his representative, then I'll just be repelled. But if I'm very, very humble, then there's an immediate attraction. So humility is, to cultivate humility is always helpful on the path of knowledge and recognizing Krishna's instruction. Because it can come through many different, it can come in many different ways and through many different people Krishna can teach us. So that's the best way to keep the channel open, is to be humble. And submissiveness. This is the main qualification for advancing in spiritual life, is submissiveness. We talk about submissive hearing and service in submission. These things actually open us for full learning and understanding and getting the mercy of others. I mean, how do you feel when someone submissively inquires from you and renders service? No, really, how do you feel?
Very favorable.
Favorable in what way?
To help them even more.
You want to help them even more. And you feel gratitude towards them, right? And you feel a sense of obligation to them, right? It's just natural. If someone renders service and in a submissive way and inquires submissively and that's really their mood, then you feel naturally that you want to help. You go out of your way, isn't it? So, Krishna is the same way. And, that's the way other living entities are too. And that's the way spiritual teachers are, especially devotees, because they're already open to giving mercy and fanning the spark. And if they see someone really open, where they can pour in more mercy, then they'll really pour in a lot of mercy. Therefore, when the sages exalted Sudha Goswami as their leader and their teacher in that assemblage at Narayana, they said, the reason you're qualified is because you're so submissive to your teachers. You were so submissive to your teachers, they poured all their mercy into you, and now look at you. Yeah, now you're qualified. It was because you were submissive. So submissiveness, humility, these are the secret ingredients for advancement in life, actually, in spiritual life especially. Any controversial questions? Was that all right? Something. Thank you.
Krishna. Thank you. I heard from a devotee before that we should be careful not to choose a guru out of sentiment or out of
Yeah, that's a good point. The question was, someone had told, is it Kurt? Kurt, that you shouldn't choose a guru out of sentiment or because you like the way they look.
Personality.
Or their personality. Because of their personality, where they look. And Srila Prabhupada mentions a similar thing in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the first chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The first chapter is called The Spiritual Masters. That's what the chapter is about, the spiritual masters. And he says that one should not accept a spiritual master based on ecclesiastical considerations. That means because of the rules of the church, that there's this, you know. But he says, quoting Jiva Goswami, one should, out of a feeling of necessity, approach somebody who's in knowledge and inquire submissively. You should find someone who's qualified. Kiba nyasi shudra kena noi, ye krishta tattva vete she guru hoi. A guru is someone who knows the science of Krishna. And it doesn't matter, Lord Chaitanya said, if that person is a shudra. It doesn't matter what varna or ashram they're from. That's not a consideration. Kiba vipra, kiba nyasi, shudra kena noi. They can be a shudra. Ramana Naroya was a shudra, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's Krishna himself, accepted him as a spiritual master. Ramana Naroya was the main instructing spiritual master for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was a shudra. So it came from that class. So this is not, it shouldn't be a consideration about the externals, and this is mentioned also, Drishvai Sabhava Janitava Pushashta Dosha, Na Prakritafamiha Bhakti Dhanashya Pashya, Gangam Nasana Kalabhut Buddha Pena Pankar, Brahmatra Bhakva Mapagachati Niradharmani. The Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami says, one shouldn't consider a guru externally. He says that you may see someone who is infirm, has a deformed body, or some kind of, you know, is not very handsome or beautiful or anything like that. For some reason is, you know, physically impaired. This shouldn't be consideration, just the way when you go to the Ganga to take a bath. You may see some straw and bubbles floating down. But you don't consider it because it's the Ganga. You just take your bath. So similarly, when you find someone who has knowledge and is a bona fide spiritual master, we don't consider from a sentimental point of view. Sentimental means from the senses and from the mind. But we decide based on shastra and our affinity also. It's an important thing. There's some affinity there. As far as a Diksha Guru goes, the shastra says there's an examination period, that the guru must examine the disciple for at least a year. This is Hari Bhakti Vilas. And the disciple should examine the guru for a year. And you should see that both should see that the other is qualified. It's a mutual thing. And then, of course, there's a process of initiation called Panchasamskar. We follow this process, actually. Prabhupada introduced it. He didn't call it Panchasamskar, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur does. But there's Panchasamskar means there's five aspects of initiation, of taking Diksha. And the first is called Tapa, which means that you change your attitude about the world, tapasya. And you become convinced that the goal in life is attained through devotional service, and you begin taking some austerity in your life, like following some principles. And then pundra means urvapundra, means wearing the external markings of a devotee, neck beads and tilak. This is showing everyone that wherever you go, it's like, what is that paint on your face? Hare Krishna. You're showing externally, advertising that this is what I do now. And then comes Nam, which means you take a name from a spiritual master, and you also receive the name, chanting Hare Krishna. And then comes Mantra, where you receive the Panchatrikiva mantras, which are the mantras which qualify one for doing deity worship. And then comes Yaga, which means performing deity worship. So Tapa, Pondra, Nam, Mantra, Yaga. These are five aspects of initiation. It's a process. And in that process, I'm saying that because sentimental means it's just based on some kind of external consideration, but as one goes through the process of taking initiation, one should at every step follow the Shastra and do so for the right purposes. Is that helpful? Okay.
Yeah? I was going to say, the Swami's talking. Also, in
She's pointing out that in the Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami points out about what is a guru and what are the qualifications. One thing is that the first thing that Rupa Goswami says about a guru is Guravashrayam, Adau Guravashrayam. Adau means, first of all, take shelter. Actually, Vaishnavism means taking shelter of a Vaishnav. If you ask any Vaishnav, no matter how exalted, who are you under? He or she will tell you, this is who I'm under. It's like one time I was going and traveling around India with a friend of mine, and we were going to all these different temples. And we go in the temple and we offer obeisances. He was my godbrother, so Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamani. And then, you know, so after a few times he said, so now we're going to all these temples and we say Prabhupada's Pranam Mantra, why are we doing that? In all these various temples. And I said, I don't know why, you tell me. And he said, because we're announcing to the deity that this is who I'm under. It's my calling card. This is who let me in here. I have no qualification. Who am I to walk in this temple to be seen by you? But if I say the mantra of my guru, then I'm saying, you know, this is who I'm with, this I'm under. Then Krishna accepts it. And Krishna told Arjuna that in the Adi Purana, that one who says he's my servant, it's not my servant, but one who says he's the servant of my servant, he's my real servant. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur says that if someone is a devotee of Vishnu, there may be some question about his going back to Godhead or not. But if someone is a devotee of the devotee of Vishnu, then there's no question. There's no question at all. Going back to Godhead. So Adal Guravashrama. First thing is, find a place to take shelter. Everyone needs shelter in this material world. We take shelter under Krishna, the Adi Guru, and that means take shelter under somebody who took shelter under somebody who took shelter under Krishna. This is the Parampara system. We're servants of the servant of the servant. Adal Guravashrama. Sudharma Pritcha. And then from there, make inquiries. And then following the footsteps. And then it's natural, as Prabhupada says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in this first chapter about the gurus, that when one's taking shelter and taking instruction from someone, that later on that one takes diksha from that person. It's a natural thing. So there should be a relationship. There should be a connection. That's the most natural thing. No controversial questions? Yeah, here's a controversial question.
So like, when it talks about the necessity of finding a guru, they're referring to Diksha, right?
When, so this question is, when they are referring, when the scriptures are referring to the necessity of finding a guru, we're talking about diksha.
Yeah.
That's your question.
Yeah, because for diksha, the person has to be still present.
Because for diksha, the person has to be still present.
And if it would say, like, you can find a guru, but they already left the body, but you feel that connection with that.
Let's say you find a guru, but the guru has already left the body, then what was the last part of it?
So then you couldn't take diksha from him, because he couldn't be there to initiate you.
You couldn't take diksha from him because he couldn't be there to initiate you. Mm-hmm. So your specific question is about does this necessity to take shelter of a guru apply just to diksha?
Yeah.
Well, what is diksha? I have to understand what diksha means. Diksha is actually a process. Divyam jnanamito dadyat kuryat papasi sanshayam. The Haribhakta Vilas says that what is diksha? Diksha is, it's a process through which one destroys all of one's karma. Yata kanchanatam yati kamsam rasa vidanatah. Tata diksha vidanena dvichatam jayate nirnam. From the Bhakti Sandarbha and also the Haribhakta Vilas, this verse Rupa Goswami also gives in the Nectar Devotion. He says that by the manipulation of, by alchemy, if you combine bell metal with mercury in a certain process, you can get gold. Prabhupada said that in the morning walk, and all the devotees saying, Prabhupada, how do we do it? And Prabhupada said that the formula must have been there because it's in that verse, it's in that shastra. Vidanina means by the proper process. There is a process which Krishna has set up specifically how to take diksha. That's what the word vidanina means. Just like you may have mercury and you may have bell metal, but if you don't know the process, you're not going to get gold. So similarly, the process of diksha is a specific process. It's prescribed by Krishna. It's Krishna's process. He distributes himself through his representatives in a specific way, as given by Shastra. Just like there are certain products that you can't buy directly from the company. You call them up and you say, I want your vitamin, and they'll say, I'm sorry, we don't sell to the customer. We sell through our distributors. You'll have to call the distributor and get it. So, one has to follow the process and the intention of the process in order to actually enter into enter that connection with the guru. And the question is about taking instruction from, it implies, can one have a full connection to Krishna and this, and the intention of the process of initiation with an unembodied guru? And the answer is, not really. Prabhupada was asked this question specifically. And he said, no, you don't make this connection in the air. You make it concrete. Because the woman was asking, can you make a connection with the guru through books? He said, yes, through books, but also personal. He said, you don't make it in the air. You make the connection with the spiritual master personally. There's the intention of Krishna's instruction in the Bhagavad Gita, tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya, that one should render service means, you know, there's a person to render service to and inquire from.
There's two agents. There's the active agent and the passive agent. There's the book Bhagavata and the person Bhagavata. But definitely, we, as in, implied in this verse and in this purport, it's very specifically Prabhupada saying about we should accept Krishna directly as the spiritual master. But then he says it's very difficult. So guru's there. So the book you can get the knowledge from, but it's not going to call you on the phone and ask you how you're doing and come after you and make sure that you're doing what you have to do or chastise you in any way. Those kinds of things are very much necessary to have a personal relationship. Sometimes people just want to bypass the system. There's a kind of a, it's a sense of cheating, actually. It's like a big telescope. If you go to these outlook points where you're looking for the stars and you want to look at the heavenly bodies, you know these huge telescopes? They have a lens that's probably bigger than your car. And then there's a part you look through at the other end. If someone says, I want to look at the big end. If you look at the small end, you'll see everything that you need to see through the small end. It'll show you. And so similarly, although I may want to look directly at Krishna, by Krishna's mercy, he sends different kinds of gurus personally, custom fit just for us, so that we can see him through the mercy of his spirit, the mercy of his devotees. Sometimes people say, well, I'll just take initiation from Prabhupada. After all, the whole movement's centered around Prabhupada. There's Prabhupada's books and his instructions, his murtis here. So I'll just take instruction from Prabhupada and forget everybody else. But actually, when we talk about Krishna, we're not just talking about Krishna alone. We're talking about Krishna and all his associates. We never separate Krishna from his associates. And similarly, when we talk about Prabhupada, we talk about Prabhupada and all of his associates as well. The idea of bypassing the parampara is a warped idea, actually. It's not a devotional idea. Because, first of all, it gives no... Thank you for asking a kind of controversial question and give me a chance to go off on a tangent. There's no glory given to the spiritual master from a disciple who says, I can't become qualified. Because it is the mercy and the instruction of that spiritual master that makes the person qualified. So if I say, I can't be qualified and none of proper disciples could become qualified to give a diksha or to... give direct instruction or help other people, then what is the glory to that person who instructed all those disciples? Every other acharya had so many disciples that were able to make disciples and expand in different ways, but Prabhupada was someone who couldn't do that. This is a kind of a... It's an insult. So you judge a tree by its fruits. And so the bypass, the old bypass program, it's not devotional. We become servants of the servants of the servants. So it's not just about diksha, it's also diksha and shiksha. And it's not that by taking diksha, shiksha from servant of in the line of succession, you're not getting access to everyone else. When you take initiation in your heart, it's not an official thing so much as it is a heart-to-heart connection. Viraragavacharya says this in his commentary, the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where diksha is actually explained in a very interesting way, that when Devaki gave birth to Lord Krishna, Krishna appeared in her womb after being transferred from the heart, from the mind and heart of Vasudeva into the heart and into the womb of Devaki. And Prabhupada says, this is diksha. The acharyas all say this is diksha. There was a heart-to-heart connection between them, and Krishna transferred himself from one to the next.
it's not some mechanical thing where you can, you know, hack the system, cut through in some other way. There's a heart-to-heart transmission. I don't even know if I answered your question. In any case, I said something, I don't know. Yes.
Okay, this is a controversial question. and it's something I've been wondering for a long time, 2 years, but I've never finally asked. Is why do I never see any female gurus?
You mean diksha gurus? Well, there are. Oh, yes, the question was that why do you not see more, or why do you not see any female gurus? That was your question. And monks, as monks and such. Well, part of the culture is generally in the Vedic culture, women aren't monks as much. Just as part of the, you know, the different orders of life, they generally don't take to renunciation because there's a process in which the husband and wife work together, raise a family, then they assist each other in becoming renounced, and then the husband may take off and become a monk later on, and the woman will stay with family. Mm-hmm. That's just sort of a traditional thing as far as monkhood goes. Generally in India and in the Vedic culture, women didn't take to that. Although there are, in our line, there are many women who were very austere, great tapasvis, who were exemplary and also gurus, and had their own lines of disciples. Janavama, who's sitting places there at Radhakund, is an example. She was the wife of Nityananda, and she was very austere person and had great influence on spreading the Krishna consciousness movement all over India, actually, and uniting all the Vaishnavas after the disappearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She actually brought everyone together. And under her banner, the devotees united and were able to formulate what we have now, so the Sampradaya coming down from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu under Janavama. So, in her own right, she was a guru, and there were line also coming from her. And in ISKCON, in our Krishna consciousness, our present-day Krishna consciousness movement, there are many women who are renunciates, or not renunciates, they're shiksha gurus in their own right, who are giving shelter to people in all kinds of meaningful ways and instructing. Generally, as far as diksha goes, this is a cultural thing I'm talking about, but you know, so you have to understand it in context. But generally, like the diksha guru is has a sort of a presence, an out front presence that in the Vedic culture women don't take. They don't. That's not their role. That's not the role that they take of being out front and having a high profile. So generally, the women don't take the role of diksha guru because of that, because of their, you know, their staying in a certain cultural context.
But if someone wanted to be out front,
and so your question is, but if someone wanted to be in that position, yeah, then this discussion's definitely. I mean, there are venerable Vaishnavis in ISKCON now who are already giving shiksha to people, and probably very soon will also be giving diksha.
Can you explain what those two last things are?
Diksha? Well, there's a formal process of initiation through which one takes the mantra. The diksha guru, okay, there are several kinds of gurus mentioned in the, at least there are more than three, but I'll mention three categories of gurus. One guru is called the Vartmana Pardrakshaka Guru, and that's the guru who shows you the path. Richie Corse is my Vartmana Pardrakshaka Guru. He brought me a Back to Godhead magazine when I was sitting in my house. Richie Corse, a friend from high school. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Vartmana Pradashaka Guru of Govmongo Thakur was his girlfriend, who he was going to visit regularly. And one night she said, you know, if you took so much interest in Krishna as you do in me, you'd be a really advanced person. And then that changed his mind, and he, you know, he went off and dedicated himself to spiritual life. So he credits her as beginning his path. That's one kind of guru. Another kind of guru is called the Shiksha Guru, or instructing spiritual master, or a person who constantly instructs you in the science of Krishna consciousness. Later on, oftentimes, the person who's instructing you becomes a Diksha Guru. And the Diksha Guru is the person who gives you the mantra, passes the mantra to you. Because specifically, the mantras, there's the Maha Mantra, we take an initiation. There's actually, according to Shastra, there's no scriptural necessity for taking initiation into the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra because it's an open mantra. It's written in evocative form. It's a prayer that we hand out on the street. Say, here, take this. Basically, we're kind of initiating people. But there is a need to have an instructing spiritual master when you take that Harinam initiation to get sambandha gyan or knowledge of your relationship, so that you can chant without offense. And also, different acharyas have mentioned that if there are gurus available who give you the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and you know about that and you don't take it, then you make an offense to the holy name. So we have Harinam initiation, and then the real diksha, traditionally, is we take these secret mantras, which are not spoken out loud. They're passed from one spiritual master to disciple. And those are very esoteric mantras which are meant to bring us closer to Krishna. And they're also used in the process of worshipping the deity, which is a very important part of devotional service. There's one Diksha Guru. You can't have more than one Diksha Guru. He gives you, or she gives you the seed, passes on that mantra to you. So you don't need more than one. But with Shiksha Gurus, you can have many. You can get Shiksha from many different sources that are in harmony with each other to help you move forward in devotional life. There's no restriction on that, how many Shiksha Gurus you have. So, Vartmana Pradakshaka Guru, then Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru. Does that help? Okay. Yes? Yes, Mangalarti. Two questions. One is very small, and the second one is what? Controversial? Oh, huh? Okay, confusing.
One is just simply, when you have a sanghira, and you can show those to people, and show the Prabhupada's picture. And can I explain the connection if you say something like
my guru
or teacher? Is that a long
statement
or a
nice
statement?
Is this the small question or the confusing
one?
No, he's our guru. Yeah, that's not a wrong thing. He is our guru. Prabhupada's our guru. No question about that.
For the next 10,000 years.
Well, yeah, he's our. Look who we're worshipping. When we do guru puja, we're worshipping Prabhupada because. He has a prominent position, to say the least. He's our founder Acharya, and we're under his umbrella, basically. So to say he's our guru is it's a fortunate thing for the person who's able to say that. Now for the confusing one.
You made this point that connection with the guru was not mainly there, like hardware connection. And said he's going to call you and ask you how you're doing and chastise you if you do something wrong. And sometimes I wonder, like, what's your about that if you don't even have connection? At the same point, if you can't make it be there, so how do you deepen that connection with your about that? Because you don't. I mean, despite that question, even when he's in manifest form, but it's just a question that keeps coming up. How do you deepen that connection?
Your question is about, I quoted Prabhupada saying, when you make a spiritual master, you don't make a spiritual master in the air, but you make it concrete, it's a personal thing. And she said, if I want to deepen my relationship with Srila Prabhupada, how do I do that? Right? And then you also added that, how did it take place? It might have been a question even when he was personally present. What to speak of now, right? Well, I can tell you from my personal experience how, there are ways that I've deepened my relationship with Prabhupada. One of them is getting to know his other disciples very well. And it's amazing how many disciples he had, first of all. It's amazing what effect he had on so many disciples and how many... how they're multifaceted also. Each one of his servants and those who were close to him and physically and served him or not, but who even had, who have dedicated their lives to him, have deep realizations about Prabhupada and his methods and his personality. And so, in my experience, through many of my godbrothers and godsisters, just having their association and seeing how Prabhupada had an effect on them. Some of them I know that that did have, were trained personally by Prabhupada, and I've had association with them and heard from them many things and picked up what Prabhupada's mood was. For instance, one of my godbrothers who was a GBC and also did a lot of service and was connected to Prabhupada very personally, has said to me often that people sometimes romanticize and think that it was just always a blissful, fun thing to be close to Prabhupada. But he said that was not the case, because Prabhupada was on 24 hours a day and full speed ahead, and if you were his surrendered servant, you had to be on 24 hours a day and fully surrendered also. And oftentimes, if your mind, even if you sit the chant 16 rounds and your mind wants to go sit somewhere else, it can be aggravating. What to speak of if the spiritual master's right there and, is making demands of you and wanting to do certain things, and you're in a certain time of your life and it's like, oh, maybe I'd rather go get married or do this or that rather than render service 24 hours a day and be on call. It's a very difficult thing. Right? And hearing things like that deepens my understanding and appreciation for Prabhupada, and also those who have dedicated their lives and have a deep appreciation for Prabhupada. And also through his books. By reading Prabhupada's books, we're getting association with Prabhupada. His books are profound. Every purport is profound, and the writing is, considering especially that English was Prabhupada's second language, and how intricate and poetical even are his writings, it's astounding. And to enter into his books as a lifetime study gives us a connection to Prabhupada and an appreciation for the way he presented Krishna consciousness and the way he presented Krishna. And we feel a tightening connection with him in that way also. Yes?
So her question is that she said she'd seen pictures of me distributing books in different languages, and she was wondering where to get Farsi books. We have them. In fact, the BBT trustee, who's in charge of printing the Farsi books, came up to me in Vrindavan about 4 years ago and said, you know, how about printing books in Farsi? Would you like to have that? And I said, I love people from Iran. I want to go to Iran. I want to have fun. He said, how many do you want? I said, I don't know, 20,000. I was just walking out of the temple or something. I said, get me 20,000 of them. And then I totally forgot about it. And the next year, he came up to me and he said, I've got your 20,000 Farsi books. I said, what are you talking about? And he said, you said you wanted to win. I said, what? And then I started thinking, well, I remembered, yeah, I did tell him that. And then I started thinking, I better be careful what I tell people, because it actually happens. But then, you know, we had them shipped to Los Angeles, and then we took, I think, at least 5,000 up at our temple in San Jose. And we have a premium on these Farsi books. When you strip a Farsi book, you get more credit. Also, we have a rule that if you go out in Sankirtan, and because we have various books, we have Korean, we have Farsi, Vietnamese are coming, Spanish, obviously, all these different books. And if you go out unprepared and you meet somebody who speaks Farsi and you don't have a Farsi book, you have to subtract points from your score. And also, now we've started a language project. This is forthcoming, could be any day now, but we have a team working on these language cards. And there's a series of language cards. We're going to have at least 100 of them, and there are 20 coming out now. And what they have is, on one side, in the script of the language, it explains what we're doing and asks for a donation. And on the back, it's written phonetically. And so you'll have these cards available in a little easy-to-index pouch. So you can just flip it open, and if you meet somebody who speaks French and you don't speak French, you just pull that out, hand them the book, and say, what about it? And it's either yes or no after that. That's forthcoming. So not only Farsi books, but we'll have, you know, the scripts that go with it.
So how would I get some?
Well, I'll just direct you to our fulfillment director at ISV, and he can arrange for you to get Farsi books. So just talk to me afterwards. I'll give you that connection. Thank you for distributing Farsi books.
I don't need 20,000.
Okay, 15. 1,000, that is.
We do have a small Farsi book here.
Oh, you do?
Professional Europe.
That's the only Farsi book we have. That's the one. And you'll notice that the original Perfection of Yoga has a yogi sitting, and above him there's a meditation cloud, and he's seeing the form of Krishna. Well, you'll see on the front cover of this, the yogi sitting in the clouds there, but there's no form inside. That's done purposefully. Because of the audience that we're distributing to.
Yes.
We don't want to lead with our chin. Yeah. Yeah. It has major impact, though. You know, anyway, you saw a few of the pictures, but I've met people who speak Farsi, only Farsi, and then I produced the book. And, you know, I had one man, we were at a flea market, and he was so excited. I don't think he even knew it was in the book, but he was so excited they had a book in Farsi. He hung around me the rest of the day. He just wanted to be friends, you know. And he wanted to know when we were coming back the next day so he could hang around some more, because I had a book in Farsi. It's so nice to accommodate people. And it just takes, this is part of book distribution called organize. It's the fourth law of book distribution. So put some thought into it, and you can accommodate people, you know, in their own language, and it's a home run every time.
And just the whole concept of you're not the body, you're the spirit soul, all that stuff is in there?
And the concept of you're not your body, your spirit soul is in there. Yes, it is. It's a very basic, fairly introductory book. It'll get the job done. Well, as usual, I've fallen short, and I apologize for, it's a vast subject, this Guru Tattva, and I thank you for all your questions, for your attention, and it was an honor to be here in this sacred time to hear Srimad Bhagavatam together and discuss the divine subject matter. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.
Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki.
Jai.
Gaur Premanande
ki. Jai.
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 Another way to get closer to Prabhupada, she just handed me this pillow that Prabhupada sat on.
Oh.
And it was part of his Vyasasana. And so she's asked me that as you come out, you can touch it to everyone's head. And this will empower you for your book distribution today. Because everyone's coming out, right? We're leaving soon.
So when Prabhupada was here in 1976, and then Sunday Street, before we were here, sat on this little picture that we have that we couldn't bring today.
Thank you. John!
The devotees will be here in the office for some reason.